If it's locally owned,
it's Copper Road.
Organically grown,
it's Copper Road.
Your heart will warm,
it's Copper Road.
Got that hometown charm,
it's Copper Road.
It is time now for Conversations with the Mayors, presented by the Chamber. The Chamber wants to know your big, bold ideas for a greater Chapel Hill Carborough community. Ideas like no one goes to bed hungry, kids all read on grade level by grade 3, build and fill 500,000 square feet of office space. Those ideas have been suggested. What is your big, bold idea to help build a better community? Submit it now online at bigboldideas.org. Talking Carborough today on this Feel Free Friday, and we have Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle here in the studio to help us wrap up the week. Thanks for being with us. How are you?
Good. Happy to be here, as always.
In the air conditioning?
Yeah, very, very happy to be inside.
Yeah, right. So it's been super hot this week. This past weekend was also quite hot, but a really cool day in Carborough because it was Carborough Music Festival Day, right?
It was an awesome day in Carborough, and I think we talked about the fact that that's always a great weekend. We usually march in the Pride Parade on Saturday. We did that, and then Sunday, absolutely no worry or threat of rain at all, right? But it felt like 4th of July,
when
you were walking around.
A little bit.
But, when you were in the shade, it was nice. And as usual, it was just an awesome day to walk around the town and hear all the different music and feel all the creative energy. And, people looked like they were having a really good time.
Yeah. Reminder of other festivals coming up?
Yeah, we'll have our next one is the West End Poetry Festival, and that's in about 3 weeks. I don't have the date right in front of you, but it's the next one that comes around. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the following month, we'll have our film festival. So we're the town of festivals this
fall. Awesome. It's festival season. It's also election season, which means you've had and are about to have a bunch of candidate forums, right?
Yeah. So we had last night, we had a forum at Owassa. It was sponsored by the League of Women Voters and the NAACP. We had all the candidates had previously filled out questionnaires for each of those groups. And so we had an opportunity, and they had a pretty, small but mighty crowd. I'd say probably 30 or 40 people. To each candidate gave kind of a 5-minute overview of who they were, issues that were of priority to them. In my case, I talked about things I thought we had accomplished. So the incumbents, I noted, had kind of a little different take than the candidates who were running for office for the first time. Mm-hmm. But it was a good opportunity to hear from the 5 candidates who are currently actively running for the Board of Aldermen. And then I also am attending all of these forums that I'm invited to, and I had filled out the questionnaires, and I gave some opening remarks. Afterward, each candidate went to their own table. And it was kind of like speed dating, except people lingered at the tables, right?
Awesome.
But it was an opportunity to talk one-on-one.
So does that mean there's like regular dating then?
Right.
Is that...
Well, I don't know.
Slow speed dating
kind of
works out the same way.
It does, kind of. Yeah. But I noted that, even my table, people were happy to get a chance to sit and talk about specific concerns or issues that were of importance to them. So I think it was a really good format.
What are the issues that voters have on their minds this year?
Well, in particular, we're hearing, as has been the case for decades, questions about parking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really big one. A lot of it is around affordability. And and one of the things I'll talk to you about here in a minute is a report we received on our efforts toward affordable housing in Carborough, but not just efforts to create affordable housing, but efforts to keep the town affordable, mm-hmm. being able to stay in place. Which is like referred to as NOAA, naturally occurring, affordable housing. So, issues around affordability, how to, not increase our tax rate too much, but yet that requires a careful balance of commercial development in conjunction with our environmental values.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually a lot of what I talked about, because I feel like that's been an issue that's been coming up in our town a lot lately, as well as, neighboring towns. So those are, I would say, the major issues that we're kind of hearing about.
Yeah, it's tricky because you want to be affordable, you also want to be desirable, and that means keeping housing affordable while also not letting it go to seed. And we care about development and kind of increasing the housing stock so we don't reduce supply while demand is going up and up. But we also care about the environment and preserving open space. And those are all very difficult things to reconcile.
They really are. And, I point that out every opportunity I can, that, we're 6.4 square miles. So, our only way, our best way to grow is up mm-hmm. in proper parts of town. But we don't have acres of open land to bring in economic development, which is good and bad, I guess. But we want to also, you know, keep this environmental feel and flavor and our values around, you know, recycling and transit and all that. And it that all comes together to create, you know, a somewhat desirable place to live, and therefore property values go up, and therefore, you know, it's an expensive place to run, you know. So it's a balance of all those and trying to figure out how to make it a place where we're all are welcome, and in some way those that want to be able to live here and work here and, you know, be able to participate in our community can do so.
Do you feel like the town is winning that battle?
You know, I don't know if any town, any desirable town ever wins that battle. But I do believe that, you know, we're doing, you know, what has been successful to the degree it's successful, right, in other communities. And we're also not afraid to think outside the box of ways that we might be able to work toward that. But, you know, Aaron, it's just, it's also, it's, I mean, it's a balance of the private market, you know, and that is something we cannot control, you know.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Liddy LaBelle, townofcarborough.org for more information on town government. And you're talking about affordable housing, you were talking about parking, and both of those issues came up at the town board meeting this week, right?
Yes, we had, this is a really awesome kind of, I don't want to say it's a change to our agenda, but it's a change in that every month we're getting regular reports on certain areas that are of emphasis to our board. And so every month we get a stormwater utility monthly report. Every month we get an economic development report. And then we, and maybe not monthly, but we get frequent updates on affordable housing and on our energy, you know, our two different climate plans, right? And so we heard all of those on Tuesday night. So it was a really good night of information. And I want to put that out there to folks that so the Tuesday, October 1st meeting of the Carborough Board of Aldermen, there's a lot of really good information presented by our staff on how we're doing on all of these plans and our goals that we're trying to achieve, as well as, you know, so you can either listen to it and or look at the attachments for those reports, because they're really awesome and they're a way to answer a lot of the questions that we get. The first one in particular, the affordable housing one, was really, really excellent. It talked about, and you can see this, a lot of this information is on our the website on our affordable housing portal. But it we heard about how many units were created or preserved, both for people to live in and people to rent. And that was a really awesome number. Over the last couple of years, we've made a lot of headway. We also heard about ways that we've been able to keep people in their homes with critical repairs through our affordable housing fund that we are continuing to support with our, you know, general, we purposely are targeting money toward our affordable housing fund. And then just ways we've land banked and the ways we support our other affordable housing providers. It's really an impressive, we've done a lot of good work in the last couple of years. There's a long way to go, but for folks that want to know what we're doing, all the statistics are there. So that was really good. The other item we had, in addition to that, you know, economic kind of development update, was we did have an analysis of the business environment for the Carborough business community that was performed by some of our interns this summer. And this was kind of just to kind of survey our businesses, because we know we've had some restaurants close, and to just ask them some basic questions. And what was really good about this survey, and it was emailed to all of our contacts, but we also did have a foot patrol that went out and talked to people and encouraged them to do it, to fill out the survey. And we actually had 77 respondents to the survey. And
out of how many that got sent out?
Well, that's a good question. We asked that question, and according to Annette Stone, I believe she has a little over 100 on her list, but the word also got out through our Carborough Business Alliance. And so, and actually her emails might be more than 100. It might be that the Carborough Business Alliance was a little over 100. Annette might have 300. But whatever it was a pretty good return
rate. That is a pretty good return rate, no matter what.
I think when I calculated it that night, maybe it was 45%. So maybe it was like 200 or 250 that she sent
out. That's actually really good. We talked to Tom Jensen about doing polls, and it was like, well, if we get a 5% response rate, that's fantastic.
No, it was good in terms of what her list is. Now, here's the question. Is how big is Annette's list in comparison to all the businesses we have in town?
Right,
you know?
Right.
But still, I thought 77 was a really good return. 75% of the people that responded were owners of their businesses, and 50% were either minority or women-owned businesses. And then 58% of the respondents had been in Carborough for 15 or more years, and 94% were locally owned businesses.
Awesome.
So really heard back from that very group that we try to uplift and support. Mm. 60% of them rented space, and 40% owned their own location. But
does this roughly correspond with the just sort of the overall business climate in Carrboro?
I think so.
Okay.
One thing I found interesting was the variety of industries that were reported responding to the survey. Because I thought, oh, restaurants, you know.
Yeah,
but
right.
There were restaurants, but also retail, trade, other services, professional, scientific, and technical, and of course, you know, food. But it was really kind of when you. I think we always think about food because that's what we all do. We all eat.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have a lot of different businesses in Carrboro, and this one kind of fleshed it out.
Awesome.
So they were asked to kind of rate on different kinds of, different kinds of questions that they had. And, of course, not surprisingly, parking was one of the issues. Another issue was labor market. You know, a lot of these businesses need good workers. And so we talked about ways to get the word out about their jobs and so forth. And then, you know, just some other open-ended questions. Some folks wanted easier bike and pedestrian-friendly facilities. We've heard that from a lot of folks that, that like to ride and walk and bike, that it's where they put their bikes when they get places. And then just other things, development incentives, perhaps to support the business community, a need for planned growth, so more certainty about what you're doing, and continuing to advertise and market the community, and, of course, equity issues. So anyway, really some good information in that. So people that want to learn more about that, you know, go look at it on the website.
I think the businesses that are responding to that survey, their values align with the town's values, I think, in general, too. And it's partly about like, oh, let's have locally owned businesses, but also let's have a business community that reflects what the town is and what it aspires to be.
Absolutely. You know, when I just read all their concerns and priorities and issues, it's very much what we talk about.
The town's mission statement,
yeah,
right?
And it's exactly what we hear from the community that you know we work on so hard to try to implement.
Yeah. How about parking?
So we had a particular item on this paid parking and enforcement study that we had asked our staff to look into. So what we directed them to do when we last met was to devise an RFP that could go out to a couple of could be an RFP, you know, for someone to submit a bid, to then further drill down on exactly what the components of our parking plan would look like. In other words, don't redo the parking plan we just had, but if we want to go ahead and implement that parking plan, what are first steps? What are next steps? How much would it cost? What kind of, I guess, devices would we be looking at or thinking about? We asked, I believe, for staff to look at it both in terms with a parking deck and without a parking deck, to ask the whoever gets the RFP to do this. And so that's really what we kind of heard back from Annette was, okay, Annette Stone, again, our economic development director, but they had heard from a couple of different folks who responded to the RFP, and some of the scope of services include a stakeholder engagement, not the huge stakeholder kind of counts and so forth that we did before, but reaching out to folks, to business employees, customers, and other residents that would be impacted by paid parking. Doing some data review and analysis, just kind of reviewing what we had before, maybe running one more day, and then digging into parking technology, payment systems, and scalability, and how to enforce. These are other directions that we gave them, costs and revenues, and then, of course, equity impacts. So we talked about the fact that I think that the bids she got ranged from somewhere like 40 to 48,000, and we gave authorization to continue on with that. The folks who responded to the RFP were told this may not go any further, or we might ask you to do part of it or all of it, but we gave some direction to go ahead and continue along, get some information for us, and come back.
Awesome. Speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, again, townofcarrboro.org for more information on town government. We're talking about this week's board meeting, which was a couple of days ago on Tuesday. No meeting next week, right?
Correct, right. We don't have a meeting this upcoming Tuesday, October 8th, so our next meeting will be Tuesday, October 15th. Mm. That will be at Carrboro Town Hall. And then I believe, Aaron, The meeting after that is when we start moving to Owosso, but folks check that out and see. But I know we always have at least one, maybe two meetings at Owosso.
Because of early voting, right?
Correct.
Yep.
Correct.
Yep. So again, townofcarborough.org for more information on that. We got to wrap up in a second, but before we do, the thing that you are following next week, and this is happening on Tuesday, as an attorney and as someone who's invested in the LGBT rights movement, there's a pretty significant Supreme Court case coming up on Tuesday, right?
Yeah. So on Tuesday morning, the court will hear arguments, and it's actually three cases involving employees who were fired for being gay or transgender. Mm-hmm. I mean, just, you know, that was the reason given. And so the Supreme Court will be considering the legal issue of whether transgender and gay or lesbian employees should be covered under the protection of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, as under the interpretation of sex as it's covered in that legislation. And these cases have been heard all around the United States in different circuits, and so they've kind of bubbled up now. Some courts have ruled that folks are covered. Some courts, at least one court I think, has ruled that they're not covered. And so this is a timely and ripe issue for the court to be determining, and they'll be hearing those arguments on Tuesday.
And this is a big case, but it's regardless of how the court decides it, it's not going to be the end of the political debate, because Congress can step in anytime they want to, and so can state governments, and amend anti-discrimination law to make it more clear that gays and lesbians and trans people are covered.
Yes,
right?
And to be clear, right now, 25 states have done that.
Yes,
you know, 25
yeah.
states and many municipalities in those states that don't have statewide protection for employment discrimination against, you know, gay people, lesbians, transgender folks. But this would do, if the court so held, this would compel the other 25 states to
yep.
then, you know, have these protections. But you're right. Congress could also always make it really clear, or states could either make it clear in their state or allow local government to do so,
yes.
which we're not allowed to do in North Carolina.
Until what year?
Until December 2020.
December 2020.
Correct.
Okay. Thanks
yes.
to HB 142, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is significant enough that I still remember the number. It's not even HB 2. It's the HB 142 replacement of HB 2.
Yeah, those are the ones you remember.
Yeah, right. So how do you think the court's going to rule?
Wow. That's a really great question. I wrote an article on Was there some method to the madness of hearing this before public accommodation?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that there is more certainty around Title VII in that, I don't know, there's some precedent there that I think might make it a little harder for them to say, no, there's no protection,
mm-hmm.
especially in light of recent liberty interests that have been given to, like, gay people, for example, by marriage equality, because
mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to make sense that, okay, you have this great protected liberty interest, now you can go out and get married. And so you get married on Saturday and you walk to work on Monday, and then you get fired.
And then you get fired.
It seems
yeah.
like an inverse kind of parallel that should not work.
Yeah.
And so that's the argument I make in my paper.
And the precedent case is Price Waterhouse, right?
That's one of the cases,
yeah.
Price Waterhouse. Another one is this on-call case that actually Justice Scalia authored, and it had to do with male-on-male sexual harassment. And
okay.
So, where they held that was actionable under Title VII. So mm-hmm. those two cases, the first one is sex stereotyping, but those two cases are what most people are using to kind of bolster their arguments. And so what I think will be interesting is, once they decide the Title VII cases, then how will those inform the public accommodation cases?
Yeah.
Because it seems, okay, you can't fire your employer, but can you discriminate against your customers?
Right. Again, we'll keep following that. Townofcarborough.org for more information on town government. We got to wrap up, but Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.